Way of the Warrior, your MMA show.
10 seconds.
He rolls into it.
Wow, he might get it. Take it.
Way of the Warrior.
One of his legs could fight at welterweight, I'm sure.
Probably.
Roll mount, here's some ground, and pound by O'Gara.
I think the first 2 minutes were everything we thought it was going to be, and then after that, it was the surprise of the night.
If it happens in MMA, you hear about it here. Your MMA show, Way of the Warrior.
It is Way of the Warrior. Eric Hallgren along with Ken Evans, and this time around, we're doing something kind of fun.
Yeah, we're in a bar, but you don't have any drinks.
Not yet. I wanted to make sure that we got up and running.
Okay. You did plug everything in. Yes. I said I would help, and then I let my wire fall on the floor, which apparently is not how you plug these microphones in.
That is not how you do it.
Eric went cheap on the equipment, so there's no Britney Spears headsets here.
Yes. There's no wireless for Way of the Warrior yet.
We are live inside the Steel Cat Bar. You've never been here before.
I have not. This place is super cool.
Yeah, it's very cool. Look at the ice rail they've got up there.
I know.
It's awesome. They've got little Tonka trucks, too, if you want to play later.
Maybe when we're done with this, we'll okay. do that.
Maybe Anderson Silva can come play. He's not busy right now.
He has nothing to do. And speaking of which, Ken will, of course, give us an update on The Ultimate Fighter Redemption, since I know that you're watching.
Oh, I stopped watching. They stopped choking each other all the time.
Okay.
Man, the fights are boring.
Instead, we will talk.
The fights are really boring. No, I did. I'm sorry. I did try to watch.
Okay.
I just want to say that. I get it. These guys are going for redemption. It's just they're not. They're not good fights, are they?
No.
So if the coaches aren't choking each other in between, I don't care at this point.
You know, and you wonder, and this is not at all what I plan to talk about today, but you do wonder, you know, how this is their second redemption or third redemption season. Like, how much longer this show stays on is a mystery to me.
I don't know. I don't know. I thought it was a nice step to let the coaches choke each other without breaking them up all the time.
Right.
But, yeah, I think you're 100% right. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes. But it's fight week. Now, we talked about this last week. Does it feel like fight week?
No. And certainly not today. It does not feel like fight week at all. Today.
It does not. And we are broadcasting one day before weigh-ins. So 2 days before the event. This is really usually where the adrenaline's going. And maybe there's been some stare downs and some crap talking. But we haven't gotten a whole lot of that at this point.
Well,
we're just selling this whole thing on Miocic and his redemption and the JDS rematch. And then the Yonage and Jerchik fight. Which I think I'm excited for. We've got a big party coming up this weekend to watch it.
But I don't know that any of that is happening, because all we're actually talking about is things unrelated to UFC 211.
Okay, well, here's the cool thing, though. Because we talked last week, and I came back to the show, and I got all dour, and I kind of brought everybody down with my mood. I didn't mean to be a bummer last week, but I did think it was an interesting discussion to kind of have. Did we reach the crest? UFC doesn't feel like UFC. There's been a big changeover. This week, I think, has been really cool because Dana White's doing Dana White shit again.
He is.
And
yes.
He did a lot of Dana White shit this week, which if you haven't been following along, which order do we want to go in here?
Well, I think you
have... Let's talk about Silva first.
Okay, that's not where I would start, but we can talk about Silva.
Well, the thing I want to talk about with Silva, because we talked a little bit last week, and right after the show, obviously, we said, oh, look, he's on this Brazil card. They're going to find him an opponent. They didn't find him an opponent. He wants to retire. One of the things that ended up happening after all of that is we found out GSP. I swear this all happened like literally right after we did the show last week.
Yes.
GSP put out his challenge. He dropped the hammer. He drew the line in the sand. Unfortunately, that line was Halloween.
Right. In Madison Square Garden, not in Canada.
Right. He wanted to fight Michael Bisping anytime after October.
After his kids get their candy or whatever.
I don't know what's going on.
After Patrick Cote on trick-or-treat candy.
Because that was, we assume that had to be the July card. And it sounds like with Dana White, that's what he assumed too. So he's been scrambling at this point. So a couple things. At this point, Dana White has said, no, look, GSP, we're not doing that. We're not going to wait till freaking October. I mean, at this point, Yoel Romero fought November, right?
Yes.
And he's the number one contender. He agreed to step aside from that fight because he thought that fight was going to happen May, June, maybe July.
And he would get it before the end of the year.
Exactly. He would, and it would be a big money fight for him because you would either have Michael Bisping coming off a win over GSP or you'd be fighting one of the greatest legends of all time, GSP. That's one thing to have a big money fight. It's another thing to have a big money fight you have to wait over a year and a half for, because even if those guys fought October 31st, you've got three more months, four more months. And the way GSP has been, God knows how many more months after that. So at this point, we're probably going to get that fight sooner than later. And that is Michael Bisping and Yoel Romero. And how did you categorize that today? You sent me a tweet. You had screen capped.
I think the tweet was just fantastic. It said, hang on, I want to read it verbatim just because.
Give it the credit it deserves.
Yeah, well, because it was just that good, right? It's from Grabka Hitman. You can find him on Twitter as GRABAKA_Hitman. Says, listen, Mike, change of plans. Instead of that $1 million payday, we're going to throw you into this enclosed rabid baboon enclosure.
Yes. I'm not sure.
So, meaning, instead of fighting GSP, you get to fight Yoel Romero. Good luck to you.
And at this point, we don't have dates for that, but Dana White is basically throwing the gauntlet down. GSP, we're not going to wait for you. How does that relate to Anderson Silva? Well,
because that's the only logical thing to do with both of them.
That seems like the logical fight, and it also seems like, okay, look, let Anderson calm down, because he's mad. He's been on the talk show circuit, a lot of MMA media saying he's done, he's given himself. And you know what? He's a dude I agree with. I mean, he was the dude last year, decided to walk in there with a essentially a heavyweight. I know it was a light heavyweight fight.
Yeah, no.
But walked in there with a heavyweight. Literally, he was autographing posters on Thursday, and he was fighting in the UFC's biggest event to that point of the year two nights later. So I give him a lot of credit there. I think that is the next fight to make. But, I mean, still, we don't see that until October. You have to wonder if Anderson Silva's okay with that.
And you wonder if the – and we talked about this last week. You wonder if the industry doesn't need this, right? You
know, right.
There has been no super fights this year. We talked. We don't have any timeline for Conor, and we'll get to that in a little bit. It's assumed Ronda Rousey is never coming back.
it is assumed.
You know,
I like how you still bring it up. I thought we were just done with it.
You've got John Jones not signing the contract yet, so there's nothing signed between.
But we'll get to that in a minute
between
too.
Him and DC. So it's not like they don't need this push because.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? I mean, GSP hasn't been fighting for years, so you can't really say, hey, you've got to fight. He doesn't need the UFC,
so
make him fight any
That's
sooner.
Not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the UFC needs it, not necessarily that either of these guys need to do it.
Right.
Just that.
But does it help if it's not until November, considering the lack of big fight feel we've been talking about now for the last week's show and so far this week?
I mean, and even this week, right? Like, you've got.
Got the heavyweight champion of the world. It's usually a big fight.
13 fights. So it starts at noon and goes to 1 in the morning.
Really? Are there that many fights?
13 fights.
Wow.
So, I mean, there's an insane amount of fights this weekend. And, you know, you can measure the excitement for a card by the amount of people that talk about something that really shouldn't matter, which is the amount of people that have texted me, tweeted at me, or got at me on Facebook, or bumped into me in person to talk about the Henry Cejudo-Sergio Pettis fight as if there was some sort of huge draw to find out what was going to happen in that fight.
Yeah, I thought that was weird.
So it has been canceled. Henry hurt his hand, so that fight's not going to happen. But the amount of people that are like bummed out about it, I find to be super surprising, especially since
I mean, we know that baseline. That baseline's 150,000. That's those people. That's those people. But that doesn't keep a $4 billion fight business in business.
No, it does not. And when you've got a card like this, there should be a lot more buzz about it. You've got a fantastic fight between Frankie Edgar and Yair Rodriguez to see if Yair's push is substantiated. I know Frankie's been saying it hasn't, and he's going to prove to them why it has been pushed too prematurely. You've got Damian Maia.
We've been doing Frankie Edgar's last fight for the past 4 years, haven't we?
If not five.
Like, oh, this is the one, man. This is the one. I mean, I know we all love Frankie, but man, this is this up and comer. This guy's got his number. This guy's going to get him. And we've been doing that for like 5 years now.
This guy's got his number.
You think so?
This guy's going to get
him. Okay, all right. Write it down, folks.
I think Rodriguez is just red hot right now. And, you know, to your joke, right?
I'm dead serious.
I know you're dead serious, but what I'm saying is eventually that runway runs out. Mm-hmm. Eventually you wake up one day and you're not able to do that.
Sorry, Eric caught me in the middle of a drink. That's what happens when we do this in a bar.
You know, so I just think he's getting close to that time. And in the same way that Gray Maynard, you know, bounced his head off the cage for the better part of an entire fight,
mm-hmm.
I just think that's the same thing that's going to happen on Saturday night.
Okay. What about Damian Maia? He said he's not sure with a win if he's going to get a title shot.
Which is insane, right? Mm. So he's taking this extremely dangerous fight against Masvidal, who could absolutely beat Damian Maia. And if he doesn't beat him, he doesn't get a title shot. And Masvidal's on what, a 6-fight win streak?
Masvidal?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. He's been winning a lot. This is a good fight. I was excited about this fight. And you know me, if usually I've admitted it before. We get one or two fights off the top, and I'm you know, I'm by the nacho plate or something.
Right.
This will be a fight I'm definitely watching for sure. So let's see. Masvidal right now, he's on a three-fight win streak.
Three-fight win streak. Gotcha.
Three-fight win streak. This is definitely a test. I mean, Damian Maia has been so good. I'm just worried Damian Maia could be a dude that's kind of getting past that window. Because, I mean, he really came into his prime over the past couple of years. But, I mean, at some point, the dude's been fighting. He's got a lot of mileage on him. And you wonder, you know, where he's going to land at some point.
But interestingly, Masvidal has 13 more fights than he does.
No, I did not know that.
So, it's interesting that you say the miles on Mayo.
I was thinking more about the jiu-jitsu, though.
Sure.
I mean, there's, you know, a lot of butt scooting. It's hard on the body.
Yes. And, you know, this fight, what makes this fight super interesting is Masvidal obviously wins 40% of his fights by KO, TKO. He's got a 2-inch reach advantage. And Maia wins half of his by submission. So this is clearly a I do not want to be on the ground with you sort of fight.
No, not at all.
And so I don't think you're going to see shades of what you saw with the Jacare fight from a couple weeks back, where Jacare got the position and just couldn't finish the fight, and it ended badly for him. I do think if this goes to the ground, it is game over.
Oh, yeah, definitely with Damian Maia.
But that first 2 minutes are going to be extremely dangerous with Masvidal.
So at this point, do we have Woodley booked yet? Is Woodley booked? Because, I mean, I thought we were holding him out because we were going to wait and see if Damian Maia could win this fight. I mean, how do you hold him back from a title shot at this point if he wins that fight? He's number 2 or 3 right now in the official rankings.
Well,
we could have another win under the belt.
A week ago, Woodley began camp for an undisclosed opponent.
Huh. Not Connor. Or maybe Connor, because we'll get to that in a minute about
Connor,
negotiations.
Because it's not Robbie Lawler, because he's previously, you know.
He's spelling his name right now.
He's previously wrapped up with Cowboy.
He's to the second B.
You've got these two.
I know, he's booked for a Cowboy fight, and we'll get to that later. When we preview that fight, we'll talk about that. You looking at the rankings, the official rankings
right
now?
So you've got, Lawler's taken, Maya's taken, Masvidal's taken. So that leaves you Condit, and if they were going to do a third fight with Wonderboy, I don't know.
Well, unless Woodley is camping for Maya to win. That could be the case, too.
But so he's camping. But if he's camping, like, actually in camp, he's on an 8-week time frame. Maya's not going to fight 8 weeks from now.
I think Maya would take the fight within 3 months, though.
Maybe.
It depends. I mean, we always see these guys do these weird things with their camps, and the champs always have a little more leeway, too. And they kind of, I'm starting camp, but what are they actually doing? So I guess we'll wait and see on that. And somebody will probably hit us on Twitter right after the show post and go, Woodley's got this fight booked, idiots.
As soon as you hit.
Couldn't you find it?
As soon as you hit stop.
Like, I'm drinking whiskey during today's show. I don't have time to search.
Co-main event, Joanna Jędrzejczyk and Jessica Andrade.
Has Joanna had some work done? Look, I don't want to be sexist. But I saw some of the promo videos. I mean, not that she looked terrible before, but she's looking better. I mean, there's all these contouring videos on YouTube. So, I mean, maybe she got to hold a couple of those. I don't know.
Maybe, yes.
But I only bring that up because it ends up being part of the marketability. And have they done something? Has somebody been working with her? What's going on there?
Well,
have you seen any of that?
I have not seen any of that, but I've seen the marketing clearly. And she's closing in on Ronda's record, obviously, which gives her some marketability that they can cash in on, especially since the other divisions, you can't really figure out who the champ is going to be long term, we don't even really have. I mean, you've got Duranda May has a belt at 145,
right,
but hasn't defended it.
Yeah, that's such a weird division.
You started a new division.
You've got you don't have them up anymore.
You don't have the rankings.
No, it was just funny last week because I'm just was wondering about featherweight. Oh, nope. Still nobody in that ranking section.
So there you go.
That's hilarious. But they've got a whole Ultimate Fighter coming up on that, right?
Yes. They do have a whole Ultimate Fighter.
Or an Invict. I don't know. Something like Fight Pass.
No, it's Ultimate Fighter. It is Ultimate Fighter.
Good for
Man, I don't. I just don't.
This is Jędrzejczyk highlight reel, right?
Yeah.
That's what this is set up for,
which
is good.
I mean, I think so because she doesn't. She seems to me to be in that division just untouchable.
We're not going to call the loss until it happens. It's going to be very similar to Ronda Rousey. Although I did say
You did say.
Holly Holm had a chance.
You did say.
It's going to be very similar to Ronda Rousey. Nobody's really going to call the loss, and then boom, it's going to happen.
Yep.
So, I mean, that's always, for somebody who's been watching this a while, an interesting reason to watch some of these fighters that they don't have a chance to lose. Everybody's got a chance to lose.
Yes, everyone has a chance.
A fight is a fight. Thank you, Roger Mayweather.
All of those things. I just don't think this is one of them. I think Jędrzejczyk wins this one handily. I also think going to the main event, I think this is Stipe's fight as well.
Really?
Yes.
He's got the loss, though. We didn't even play MMA math yet. This JDS is different, though.
Well, I mean... He does have.
I'm not being facetious. I feel like the tone came out wrong.
Well,
there.
No. I do think it is a different JDS, and I think we've been talking about this, that the combined damage that man has taken, you know, leaves him susceptible to any sort of insanity that could happen in there, and it just feels to me as if Stipe's just got it all dialed in right now. Not to say he's going to be this long-term reigning king that can't be beat at heavyweight. That's not what I'm saying at all. I just think this matchup is, much like you said, it's not a highlight reel for him, but it is a redemption story for him to avenge that loss while he has the belt.
Yeah.
And I think that's exactly what's going to happen on Saturday night.
Yeah, I think it'll be interesting, too, because this will be his first title defense not in Cleveland. And he even admitted he was very tight for that one. So it's going to be interesting to kind of see if he can just let loose without having to worry about, you know, the family's tickets, supporting an entire town.
Right.
And let's also remember at that point, the Cavs hadn't won a championship, right?
No, he was first.
He was like the whole city was just.
Yes.
And that city?
Oof. Yes.
I know you've been there a lot, Eric. What are your opinions on Cleveland?
No, my opinion is that city, when you've got a city behind you, that it's a lot of pressure to put on a single human being,
mm-hmm.
you know,
because they haven't had a winner in forever.
Right. And so when they've got one, it's a lot of pressure to deal with. Or, you know, heading into that, it's a lot of pressure to defend that.
Eric's giving me looks like, okay, fine, we'll just write off Northeast Ohio, I guess, for downloads. I guess that's what we'll do. I'm just saying. Well, here's the other thing, too, is since that fight, I mean, I think JDS has only fought three times. And this is going to be the sixth fight for Stipe since that fight. So he's been much more active, too.
And, the rest can be good for JDS, but I still think...
I know, he didn't really rest. He had those weird breaks.
Yeah. But, I mean, what I'm saying is his head getting that rest, whatever the reason is, can be helpful. But I still don't think it amends the aforementioned damage on the show 13 times over that Cain Velasquez exacted on his noggin stays with you forever.
Fair enough.
And so... I think this will be a fun bunch of cards. You obviously, with the Cejudo fight off...
you got to go back to bring us down.
You've got Joko and Branch move up.
Eddie Alvarez is on the card, too.
Alvarez is on FX.
He's had some interesting comments this week about admitting that Conor McGregor basically destroyed him.
Yes.
Not only as a fighter, but as a person after that fight.
Right.
Well, No. I commend him for that.
You're the heavy hand of MMA this week.
No. I commend him for that. I mean, think about it. In this ultra alpha world of fighting, the fact that he was able to admit that,
sure,
and tell people, yeah, that happened to me and I got past it, that can be a big thing mentally. That can be a great thing mentally for a fighter.
If you weren't fighting Dustin Poirier, that would be a great thing.
Yeah, but most fighters would never want to even admit that to themselves. The fact that he was able to, I think, is the best step. Now, whether or not he's going to beat Poirier because he was able to admit that to himself, I don't know. But I am saying, if he would have just gone into denial, like a lot of fighters, a lot of machismo happening instead of taking the actual brunt of the beating that he took and what happened in the cage, I think this is a better place mentally to be, to understand what happened there and go, yeah, he beat me up and you know what? It didn't feel good and I didn't feel like I was a fighter after that fight and I had to get back to it after that point.
And this will be a chance for him to figure out if he got back to it, because Dustin Poirier is clearly not a tune-up
fight.
I love this fight, but it's not a tune-up fight.
Yeah, we're not getting many tune-up fights anymore. You know, over and over again, Dana White has said, the UFC is not for tune-up fights any longer.
Over and over again, he has said.
Unless you're from, like, the first three seasons of Ultimate Fighter, and then...
Speaking of which, are we talking about that?
No.
That those two...
Who?
Asshats want to come back. Matt Hughes wants to come back. Did you see that?
To fight?
And Liddell wants to come back.
Is this because WME fired them from their, like, cushy UFC jobs? Or
That might be part of it.
And honestly, I don't know. I feel like they have been fired, but I'm not 100% sure.
I believe they have both been fired. I do think that could be part of it.
What I don't understand. Say, though, the UFC was paying Matt Hughes to, like, farm at his home.
No, they were paying. And they were paying fighter relations.
No, and they were paying Chuck Liddell to shave the sides of his head every day. That did, those did not seem to be line items that made sense to WME. So that's probably why they're gone. So now they're like fighting again.
And that's okay. I do think though, if anything tells you the state of MMA at writ large, if those two are able to come back and fight in the organization, that should tell you everything you need to know about where we are as an organization.
Chuck Liddell, though. Come on. No. You pay for that.
Nope.
Liddell Sonnen. Oh, see, Eric wanted to say he wasn't going to pay for it until I gave him a fight he wanted to pay for.
I will pay for that fight.
I told you.
And then if we can get Matt Hughes and BJ Penn, I'll pay for that one, too.
That takes me into, would a better move be Bellator for these dudes?
Yes. There should be a senior division in Bellator that they can all just
Yeah, I mean, they've kind of almost taken your idea to have this Masters division. And they're kind of doing fights here and there. Obviously, you've got the Silva Sonnen fight coming up, and you've had Tito Ortiz.
Vanderlei. Sorry,
Vanderlei Silva. Yeah,
sorry. I thought you just rebooked.
Who knows? Maybe by October. I don't know at this point.
Right.
So that's going to be interesting. You know, they've had Tito Ortiz on the cards. They've
Fedor's on the card.
Kimbo, rest in peace.
R.I.P.
Kimbo's kid. Wasn't Kimbo's kid on a card?
Still in the organization. Yep.
Is Dota 5000 alive?
I don't know.
Would have thought when that fight happened? Like, hey, who's going to be dead sooner? The guy who's literally dead on outside of the cage? Sorry. Eric wants to move on to Dana White doing Dana White shit this week.
I do really want to get away from whatever you're doing right now.
Okay, I just thought of that. Okay. It's like one of those things that enters your head. You're like, oh, man, remember that fight? We all thought Dota was dead.
Turns out we were wrong.
No, we were definitely wrong. So Dana White doing Dana White shit.
So Conor McGregor.
Conor McGregor, that's the interesting thing, because if you're not a boxing fan, this past weekend, Canelo Alvarez had a fight. Who did he fight? Cesar Chavez Jr.?
Yes.
Something?
Yep.
I don't know. It was like they were trying to trick you that he fought a guy from the 80s, but it was his son or whatever it was. It was a lopsided, one-sided fight, and what it actually ended up being, it was a basically you bought the pay-per-view so that you could then see the commercial at the end where he was going to fight Triple G. And that's a big boxing fight. So if you're not a boxing fan, I'm not going to go through it because I can't really speak to it.
Sure.
But I know that's a huge fight. The thing about that fight that relates to this is apparently they booked it for September 16th in Vegas somewhere. It doesn't matter where it is. What matters is it's on pay-per-view, obviously. Dana White this week said that that was going to be the tentative date for a Conor McGregor-Floyd Money Mayweather fight, which for everybody who read that said, oh, my God, that must be really, really close. Dana White said, no, that was just kind of a date sitting out there. I've never been a part of a negotiation like this, and I don't know how much longer I want to do this. So that makes a lot of sense on a couple levels, because we've been wondering, why isn't Conor booked? Why haven't they figured out what they want to do with him? Why are they letting him hold eight divisions hostage? Because, again, we talked about it earlier. The Woodley fight was a big deal. Everybody was talking about that. You know? So this actually makes a lot of
sense. That's
one of
the reasons they can't start this new women's division. It's because Conor's holding it up.
Yes, Conor's holding up the women's division with a set of high heels and lipstick. Can I say that now, or am I in trouble?
Yeah. No, I don't know. Yeah.
I don't know. Did you just assume Conor McGregor's gender?
No.
Anyhow, so this makes a lot of sense that Dana White said, hey, that was our date. We wanted that date, but now we can't do it. Although I have a sneaking suspicion if pay-per-view distributors had to choose between Mayweather, McGregor, and Canelo, Triple G. I know which one they choose. That's not how you want to do business, though. There's no need to kind of split the business like that. But it was definitely an interesting thing. The other interesting thing that I alluded to is Dana White saying he doesn't want to do this anymore. That the negotiations of, and think about the negotiations Dana White has had to do over the years. And this one, he doesn't want to do it. You can tell there's frustration in his voice. He doesn't want to deal with Mayweather's camp, and I can see it. I mean, he's a guy that's used to having his way.
Sure.
He runs UFC. He's run it with the Fertitta brothers for a long time. He basically runs it now for WME. So having to actually be on an even playing field could be tough for a guy like that. I'm not saying it's right or wrong. I'm simply saying what it is. The interesting thing about that, though, is a lot of people, I've seen some online comments like, good, get Dana out of it, and they can come to a deal. No, they can't.
Nope.
They can't come to a deal with Conor McGregor to step into a boxing ring without the UFC being involved. They own the rights for Conor McGregor in combat sports. They do. and especially when pay-per-view dollars get involved. And a lot of people are saying, but what about all these submission tournaments and these other things people do? UFC doesn't care about an $8 pay-per-view that's internet only from Central Oregon,
right.
Wherever half these things come from.
You can do all the flow combat and all the EIBs you want to do.
Right. If it's going to be a $100 million boxing match, they're not going to let their property walk into that ring without their cut. So that became very interesting this week as he basically said to Floyd Money Mayweather, look, we're going to make a deal or Conor's getting back in the cage. That was the subtext that I took from this. Years and years of watching Dana White do what he does.
Well, and you know, the obvious takeaway here is twofold, right? Is that it's a deal or it's no deal, because it's not as if you can wait, because Floyd's not getting any younger.
Connor's been on the shelf now. Congratulations, by the way.
Right.
He had his baby last week. His wife did.
He can't, it's not like he can bang out the six fights in before the end of the year and do this next year.
No. No, is that what he's locked up for, six?
It's got to be close to that. But either way, if it's three, he can't do
it. It doesn't matter. He's got to do the fights. He's got to do the fights. And
I mean, if in this weird internet scenario where he's going to negotiate on his own, he has to finish the contract.
Yeah, he has to be out of his fights. So I find that interesting, and I know a lot of people are going to be disappointed because they really, and I would love to see it. I mean, there's a definitely, you know, side of the road car accident gawker factor here as far as this.
Yeah, it'll be a shame to see him bust Floyd's record.
Oh, my gosh. Okay, let's not get into that yet, because we've got other Dana White doing Dana White shit to talk about. So I really actually appreciate that. Some people don't. I've always liked that side of Dana White when he does those kind of things. The other thing that we saw was that he's basically said, I'm going to put John Jones in the main event in July. That card that we talked about all last week that's lacking. We assumed it would be Bisping and GSP, and then GSP dropped his little bomb about October.
About post-Cote Halloween.
I don't know. What is he doing? We already did that earlier.
All right, Patrick, just go to this door.
Hold on. I'm just counting to 10 internally because I'm still trying to figure out how. Has there ever been a weaker challenge laid out, like via Instagram? I'm ready to fight you anytime after Halloween because I'm going to dress up in my Captain America outfit that I stole from the studio. Michael Bisping. Anyways, so.
As a side note, not to loop you back to that, like. Do you think he comes back? He doesn't come back, right? Like, this is
GSP?
This is over, right?
I think we'll see GSP Silva. I think that's got to be the one.
But if
it's
not that, it's over, right?
We could see him in a championship fight. I mean, if you do the fight
against
right now
John
with Bisping,
Jones?
Oh, wait. Who are we talking about?
I'm just making crazy.
Okay, all right. You're doing Dana White shit.
I want GSP to be John Jones.
Eric Holmgren doing Dana White shit. Let's just make all the fights.
Yeah.
I think we'll still see GSP. We've got a date, at least, so I think they can work with that. They just can't work with the title in that position right now. So we've seen Dana White talk about John Jones now. Like, yes, he's going to be in the main event in July.
As he should.
And yes, because, I mean, at a certain point, you've got to just make these fights. So he's done that. He's told GSP, no, we're not going to wait for you. And he's told Floyd Money Mayweather, we're not going to wait for you. And, yeah, we don't have a lot of cards out of that yet, but I feel like we're at least moving in the right direction. I got to free my fighter up, my biggest star in the world, Conor McGregor. He's got to get back in the cage for me. I'm using the other biggest fighter I've got right now and the other match that everybody wants to see, DC John Jones. And I'm also freeing up my middleweight title, which has been held hostage now since GSP announced a couple months ago he's coming back. Because I know you and I assume when the guy says, hey, I'm coming back, okay, cool. How long does camp take? Not October.
Nope.
So I feel like we're moving back towards some of the things that we felt like were big events last year. It's just fight week, and it doesn't feel like fight week yet, but we do have Dana White doing Dana White things, which I think bodes well for what's happening in the UFC going forward.
And so speaking of weird things that have happened this week, your thoughts on all the Nate Diaz insanity that's been going around?
I haven't kept up on it. I've seen his headlines flying about here and there.
It's a super interesting thing that I think you should check out just because listening to him talk both with Ariel and all the other stuff that he's been doing, he's another one of these guys that, you know, I would love to see him get back in there, and I don't.
He turned down an Alvarez fight,
right?
He
did turn down an Alvarez fight, which he should have turned down.
Yeah, no, that makes sense. He said the guy I smashed you.
The guy that just melted him.
I love that he does MMA math, too. Like, right. He plays our favorite game.
Yes.
He's like, I smashed you.
You smashed this guy. I'm not going to fight the third smash guy.
That doesn't make any sense.
Without even watching it, you don't need the context. You've seen enough headlines. Do you think he deserves a big money fight at this point? Like, is he a brand?
I think he's a brand, and I'm surprised that they don't use him at this point because we've talked about
Dana White shit, right? Said he's not a brand.
I think he is. And I think Dana White doing Dana White shit is Dana White negotiating as far as saying he's not a brand, because he definitely is a brand, or he never would have got the first Conor fight. You don't put anybody in there against your golden boy. Well, he's an actual brand.
Let's spend the last 2 minutes, because we've got here before we head off. Like, what would you fantasy book him if you could do anything with him?
I'm not sure at this point. He's been out of it so long. Can we do Diaz?
That would be fun, right?
It could be like the Williams sisters. You know how they always have terrible matches when they play each other? So I guess you got to tell me what weight are we putting on.
Well, that's what I'm saying, because like, he wasn't really a contender at 170, unless you're Conor McGregor. So... Mm-hmm.
They've got him as a lightweight right now.
And he's mid-level lightweight, right?
Oh, yeah. He's like eighth. He's like eighth in that division. A Diaz Ferguson would be fun.
Yeah, but Ferguson's, I mean, he's a contender, though.
Yeah, okay. Look, I know you love Tony Ferguson. I know you love Tony Ferguson.
The record and he's speaks a great, for even if I didn't love
he's an
Tony.
Amazing. No. He's an amazing contender. I thought you were about to grab your phone and start looking things up. He's like,
no.
I thought Eric was getting real mad.
No, I was going to pick up my phone and call Tony Ferguson.
You call Tony Ferguson? Are you telling me Tony Ferguson wouldn't take that fight? Because that would probably headline, maybe not a pay-per-view, but that would headline an event. And if Tony gets that win, Tony can't be denied anymore. And I know for the hardcore fan, we know where Tony is. Tony's number one or number two right now, depending on whether or not you're pissed that Nurmagomedov hasn't fought in a while.
Is number two Tiramisu then?
What do you mean?
Because Nurmagomedov missed weight because he was eating Tiramisu.
No, yes.
Okay.
Sorry. But... I'm going to tell you this. He's not really on the map right now. But if you beat the guy that beat Conor McGregor, you can start calling McGregor out left and right all day. Big money, big deal fight for Tony Ferguson at this point. Tony Ferguson?
Yeah.
I'm not sure. Because he just lost that fight with Nurmagomedov, right? I would love to see that fight. That would be an amazing fight. And I think Tony could win that fight. But would Nate take it? You know, I'm not sure how self-aware Nate is in these instances. And again, I don't blame the dude. Everybody said, you're going to get smashed by Conor McGregor. And he went in and smashed him the first time.
He rejected a Ferguson fight.
Diaz did?
Yes, at 213.
Then I don't know what you do. I don't know who does Diaz want. Does it say who he wants? Because that's the fight I'd like to see. And he's the top of the division. So what else do you do with Diaz at this point?
Yeah,
you can do Diaz Lawler, I guess, on the other side. I mean, you can take some of these name fights and make them, depending on what weight you want to put them at.
That's
the fight I'd want
to
see.
I'm getting to the point, though, that like after this Cowboy fight, I don't know that I want to see Lawler
anymore.
Every
time I mention Lawler, Eric winces.
Because it's just like, it's horrifying. Mm. It's almost as scary as putting Michael Bisping in with Yoel Romero.
Hit Yoel in the middle. Hit the Yoel in the middle, Michael.
Hit the one in the middle.
He says that eye's fine. It helps his peripheral vision.
So he can see when the giant paw is going to take his head off. Right. Okay. And on that note, as always, you can follow along on Twitter and Facebook.
Wait, predictions?
Yeah.
It totally doesn't feel like fight week, so we didn't run a quick prediction run.
I'm taking Stipe. I'll take Joanna. I'll take Maya. I will take Rodriguez. And I'll take Branch just because he's on the card.
Even though
I don't really care about that fight, but I'll take Branch.
I line up with you on all those, and I'll take Poirier on the prelims against Alvarez.
Ooh, just to make it interesting, I'll take Alvarez.
So that'll be the only difference.
We'll see which one wins when we take the difference.
I don't even think I'll be at your house at that point. So just text me who won.
All right. As always, on Twitter and Facebook, search WOW Show. It's Way of the Warrior. It's your MMA show.